Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there, Scott Wilder here, and welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove, orchestrated by BASE. Today, I'm really excited to talk to Luis Gonzalez of Alteryx. We're going to talk about all things advocacy. Actually, we'll narrow that down a little bit, but Luis, welcome.
Thanks, Scott. Excited to be here and always a pleasure speaking with you. Yeah, Luis Gonzalez here. I lead global customer advocacy at Alteryx.
So tell me a little bit how you got in that role. What was your journey?
It's funny that you asked that question, especially right now, right? There's so much content. There's so many programs bubbling up, so many customer marketing and advocacy practitioners that people can kind of tap on the shoulder virtually and say, can I speak with you? It wasn't like that just a few short years ago. My journey into this position started at a company that was known as Serious Decisions, and then it was acquired by Forrester, where I was a strategic customer success manager for healthcare and finance. We used to do these weekly meetings as a CSM team where we'd discuss, you know, which customers were being successful, what kinds of things that they were doing, how they were seeing value out of what we were providing to them. And that's kind of where the love started. I'd bring success stories to the table and I knew, hey, these folks are advocates, right? And so there was a fateful day in, I believe it was 2017 or 2018 in June, where I brought a pilot idea to one of the co-founders. And I said, I think we could take 10 customers and pilot an advocacy program here. From there, it kind of rolled into a program. And then I started to want to do this full time. And I found a company by the name of Alteryx on LinkedIn and was hired to build what we now know as Alteryx Innovator and Alteryx Visionary. So I've been at it for about 5-6 years now.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love how you took the initiative there. Do you find that, like, you know, you talked about customer success and customer marketing. We're a little off the topic we want to talk about, but like, why now for advocacy? You know, why is like everybody so interested in it right now, do you think?
You know, back in 2016, 2017, I remember speaking to demand marketers at all levels. And the story that some folks, and I believe in this too, some folks believe in the fact that what made the demand marketers become now the chief marketing officers at organizations is the almighty marketing qualified lead metric. I mean, that's what kind of drove them into fame. But demand comes with cost, right? The customer acquisition cost continues to go up at most organizations. And back then, what we started to see when customer success teams were becoming more popular, they were proliferating across different organizations. Big thanks to Salesforce and Gainsight for being kind of cutting edge and evangelizing customer success, is that it was easier and more cost effective to grow a business via your customers. And what better than your customers to tell the story of your brand, of your service, because it just became that, you know, marketing materials, people started to lose trust. And there's a lot of research on that. You know, marketing messaging is, people are, they feel like, hey, I can't trust it, right? At what point, and we started to kind of see a switch. And again, this is all research based, where the buyer's journey became more about, I'm going to talk to a rep, or I'm going to go on a website. And then actually flipped on its head. It went completely in reverse, where people started behaving like consumers. And consumers, the first thing they do is they either ask a friend or they go to a review site. And they're both the same. They're being provided by customers. And I think that's starting to drive the change. It's more of a consumer type of behavior in B2B buying.
It's interesting because, you know, as I think about advocacy, early in my career, I was doing a lot of customer loyalty type of programs in the B2C world at places like American Express and Apple. And now I'm seeing the B2B world kind of take on some of those characteristics, especially in the advocacy space.
You're bringing up a good point. I'm a huge fan of how American Express does loyalty. I'm heavily influenced by B2C loyalty programs. So some of the best ones, Starbucks, American Express, definitely for sure. So thanks for some of the early work there, Scott.
When I was there, it was interesting too, because you know, this was in the previous century. So they basically would treat Lewis as three customers if he had three credit cards, right? So if he had a green card, a gold card, and a corporate card. And I know you were really successful back then, so you probably had the three cards, but they treated you as three customers. And so, you know, what they had to do is really figure out, and they did this, it took a few years, how do you link all those cards together and treat you as one customer?
Right.
But that's probably another topic.
It's interesting though, right? Because how many customers, especially, I mean, we see it here at Alteryx, right? We've got customers with different products. We've got them engaged in community. Some of them are engaged in the advocacy program. You know, let's make sure cross-functionally, we're all kind of telling the same message. So yeah. It's right on the money.
Well, a program like an advocacy program is a great way of linking it all together. So in the American Express case, they came out with something called Membership Miles at the time, which was their frequent flyer program. And they were one of the early innovators of having multiple frequent flyer programs in one program. But what was really interesting is you, Joe Smith, as a customer, had to enroll all your cards. So once you enrolled all your cards, then they linked them all together under that Membership Mile umbrella. I see today companies, you know, they might sell multiple products and they're still like their CRMs are not linked up together. Right. We have one customer who is doing B2C and B2B. They're in two different systems. So they're treated as two different customers. And you might say, well, B2C is different than B2B, but it's still a human being at the end of the day that you're marketing to.
Oh, boy. That's a topic that I'm very passionate about. Treating the individual, the human, the same way that they are treated. Let's just call it Friday afternoon at 5:30 p.m. They become human again, right?
Yep.
It's like, hey, I'm Scott Wilder, the consumer. But then once Monday 9 a.m. comes around, why are you Scott Wilder, B2B professional, insert title here, and we're going to talk to you differently. It shouldn't be. It should be the same experience. I'm a huge believer in that, for sure.
Yeah, we had a discussion this morning with a customer. You know, to be transparent, they were struggling with their advocacy program. And so I started to ask some questions. And what I noticed is when they talked about their customers, they talked about them in terms of their work and not in terms of like who they are as an individual, right? And understanding right. In terms of your advocates and really understanding that, to your point, they're human beings and there's many things that are going to motivate them. And that could be personal, it could be professional. But I think, you know, in the B2B world, even to think holistically about that individual or that group of individuals.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's definitely something we're going to dive into probably on this chat, but treating people like human beings and using a lot of emotive words and phrases is key to making an advocacy program successful.
So let's talk about how do you approach this and building an advocacy program from scratch? How do you approach it? So maybe you can tell a little bit about, you know, how you think about things and how you've built up the Alteryx advocacy program.
It's something that after having a heavy hand in that first pilot program that I mentioned, and then coming on to Alteryx in a totally different industry, right? So Sirius and Forrester was more ivory tower, research, sales, marketing, and product. And obviously Forrester handles IT as well. Coming over to Alteryx, which is a SaaS tech, right? It's that's the industry we're in. You really have to dive into your point earlier about who are these people? What are they doing? What's their work? But if you focus strictly on the customer's work and you try to build something based on that, then potential for failure or potential for lower engagement is higher. And so what we did in terms of the program is I started to realize after the fact, after you build something, you kind of look back on it and you say, I've done this twice now and I'm going to kind of brand it the triple B approach. And each B stands for something, right? So the first B is going to be brand. It's the most important thing I believe in starting from scratch. And if you look over my right shoulder, there is a V with visionary on it. And that is the program branding for one of the two advocacy programs that we run here at Alteryx. It's called the Alteryx Visionary. And so that's the brand. I mean, you're literally looking at a logo right behind me, right? And so that brand was created with a value proposition that supported what those individuals were about. Sure, some of their work is involved, but in reality, it was actually methodology. It was more ideology of who they are as a professional and what they're striving to do every single day. So we built the value proposition for the program with that brand. You are a visionary. You are looking to push data and analytics forward at your enterprise you are trying to ensure that people are upskilled, they're getting access to data, their data literacy improves, right? It's not about the daily tactics, the work that they actually do. It's more about the ideology of who they are and how they identify. And so that value proposition, that's the brand, right? So look at your customer base and focus in on what they truly care about. Why are they doing what they do?
How do you figure that out? How do you get to that?
So again, back to my history with Serious Decisions and Forrester, I got to give a lot of credit to a framework that was developed there. And that framework is actually designed to create product value propositions and product messaging. But it has 8 steps where you first identify your industry, then your target audience, and then their personas. And then that 4, it's like, what is the emotiveness that they care about? So what we did is we stripped away some of that because it didn't really pertain to us, right? But we started to look at some of our case studies that were from previous times. We dove deep. If you have a community, online community, dive deep in there and start to see what they're typing. That's from the horse's mouth. And then the all important speaking to your CSMs, ask them, what are they saying? What do they care about? But the most important part is actually scheduling some calls and conversations with the customers. And instead of asking, what are you doing with the product? It's just ask them, what are you doing day to day? Who are you? Why are you in analytics? Tell me about your analytics journey. And they start telling you things like, at Alteryx, we discovered a lot of them are self-taught. A lot of them are self-taught. And they have this hunger, this drive to do something better and to uncover that when something is perhaps not as efficient, they have this personality trait to want to make it better, right? Now, does that have to do anything with the product? Sure, it does, but this is their actual human personality. And so you take those emotive words, those phrases, and you put them into the value prop of your program. Because now that individual identifies with, yes, I am an innovator because I actually care about making things better. I don't like it when something is not efficient, right? And so I identify as that. I want to be a part of it. That's how we did it. And we used that framework to take a lot of words, phrases that we saw in community, things that we heard on interviews, and then we just literally tied it all together into one programmatic value proposition.
I love that. You're like an anthropologist in some ways in trying to get to this stuff. You've referred to this framework. What was the name of the framework that you guys used at Serious Decisions?
Yeah, it's called the Messaging Nautilus. And it's I'm not sure if you could find it anymore, but it's out there if you Google it. Again, designed for product launches, value proposition, more for like product managers and marketers. But I take inspiration from different areas. So I kind of remembered that and I was like, well, that could be a good way to develop a good programmatic proposition for people to get drawn into. Because what I see often, Scott, is program X, program Y is called a few things, champion, ambassador, and then some folks do get creative and then they dive right into be a champion, benefits are, right? Instead of let's brand this something that means something to that individual. You're an innovator. This is why value proposition, because you feel all these things, you see all these things at work. And by the way, here's the benefits, right? It's not just champion benefits. So I will say this, I mean, I don't know if this works at scale, but it has worked at Alteryx. It's something that people truly believe in, so much so that, and I'm a big believer of how, right? You could talk the big talk and talk about concepts and theory, but can you actually prove that it's working? And you can, because if I were to share my screen right now, I could look up a few folks on LinkedIn and literally they have their name, their title, a vertical line, and then it says Alteryx Innovator. They are identifying themselves as innovators. They are putting it on their email signatures. I am an innovator. That's cool, right? Because that goes beyond I'm a champion or I'm an ambassador for a brand. They're taking it and they're owning it as something that is theirs. It's now professional and personal to them, which is what we strive to do.
Yeah. No, it's great that connection, identifying them as human beings and really, you know, digging in to try and figure out like what's important to them? You know, what are they trying to solve in their, you know, not just work, but careers. And, you know, I always go back to the framework of helping people obviously understand the product, but accelerate that, you know, improve their craft and accelerate their careers. That was the first B. What was the second B?
Okay. The second B is going to be about the business, your internal business, right? The one thing that I do like seeing now, this is very recent, I would say probably late 21 now, 2022, is program owners are now really buying into and leaning into. When I build a program, I have to make sure that the program's objectives and goals are tied to the business's go-to-market strategy. That's the second B. That business is all about making sure that you're building a program, not just full of raving fans that are going to give you reviews, quotes. You know, that's tactics, right? This program has to be able to help the business's go-to-market strategy, whatever that may be. You've got to align it. And aligning to the business's go-to-market strategy is basically in organic chemistry. You said anthropology. I took anthro in college. It's one of my favorite classes. But I'm a biology major, so I took organic chemistry. Organic chemistry, there was a section where it was called retrosynthesis, which basically you have an end compound, let's say caffeine, right? So if you Google the compound for caffeine, you're going to see its complexity. The goal was to work backwards to figure out what the original compound was to get to that end goal. I take that approach when it comes to measurement. So I went to the business and I was like, all right, great. What are we trying to achieve? Growth through customer testimonials, partnerships, et cetera, whatever it might be. And then you work backwards. How are we going to get there? And then it's that readiness metric where, okay, great. If we're looking to improve or increase our footprint in a certain sector of industry, then you've got to be ready for that. So you're going to go ahead and recruit individuals, customers that are in that industry. So work backwards to align to the go-to-market strategy. It's pretty much that. It's just working backwards to tie it to the end goal, the impact, which is what is the company's go-to-market strategy so that the 6 months down the road, you can actually say we built this program and here are some results that are helping the business's strategy. And people will definitely kind of lean in and say, yeah, this is valuable. So that's the second B.
This is going to sound like a silly question, but when you started Alteryx, how did you get clarity on the business goals of the company?
So what we did was obviously, you know, there was the open role was customer advocacy manager. And the goal was simple, build a multi-tiered advocacy program. So we have Innovator Visionary now. But to my point, not just building an advocacy program with benefits and then, you know, driving to something that wasn't important to the business. So what we did is we first kind of named it. We developed the value proposition and we said, okay, we're going to get these customers, but what do people actually care about? So we set up cross-functional meetings every single week with solutions marketing, demand and integrated campaigns, social, AR. And we asked them, what are you trying to achieve, right? And what do you think about customers supporting that? So at the end of the day, we took those needs, those pain points, those goals. And then we rolled them up to the functional leads and we had meetings with them. Mm-hmm. Same thing with sales. What are you trying to achieve? And so we presented, hey, here are the KPIs that we've heard from you. And underneath, it was basically a split screen. Here is how these innovator and visionary programs are going to help. These are the KPIs we're going to measure to showcase that. And right off the bat, Scott, we didn't focus on tactical output results. We focused on here is how we're going to help you. Here is our readiness metric. So we're going to go after X number of customers in these industries. Here is the activity that's going to support your campaigns, for example, your sales motions, your AR strategy. Here's what we expect the output to be. And at the end of the day, this is the impact. That's how we did it. And we got buy-in immediately from that because, you know, to be honest, if you've got a program, a team of people that are looking to support in any way they can with customers, you can't say no to that.
I mean, you had this cross-functional team in a room. They all like shared their goals. Were there too many goals? Was like, how did you like, you know, narrow it down to kind of the critical few that you wanted to focus on?
Yeah, I would say sometimes you would hear a goal that sounded a little tactical and that you can kind of say, well, we could try, right? That's something that we can experiment with. But we tried our absolute best to distill it down to the top two or three that we could help with. And then one thing that really helps too, and this is something that I learned probably, I would say a year in, if you've got a strong demand function where they're setting up your overall campaign strategy, that is your overlying everybody else has to fall underneath that, right? So your overall campaign strategy, your social team has to abide by it, your AR team has to abide by it, your solutions marketing, all of that. And so we would always kind of say, we see your strategy, how does this align to the overall campaigns that we're launching? And that it also makes people think, right? Yeah, you know, well, actually, this is kind of now maybe like ancillary. So we would say, well, the ones that you've called out here align very well with the overall organization's campaign strategy. And that's what we're going to stick to. And that's what we're going to support you with. We were also very, I guess you could say, prescriptive in that way.
Nice. So then there's the third B.
Yes. The third B is the benefits. That's the fun stuff. The benefits. You got to have benefits. People, you know, we talked a lot about loyalty programs, B2C, treating people like human beings. And, you know, in the beginning, right, or early on, it was all like, yeah, swag and whatever rewards you want to give them. You also kind of have to get to know your customer. I'll tell you this. I made the grave mistake in late 2020, declaring that I thought swag was dead. I was like, swag's dead. Nobody cares about it anymore. It's more, you know, professional enablement, other kinds of wrong. I was dead wrong. People love swag, especially the Alteryx customer. They wear it as a badge of honor. It's like whoever has the most swag is the winner. I mean, if they've got a raggedy shirt with holes in it, but it says Alteryx, it's like, I got this in 2008, man. Like, it's like a badge. So we were like, all right, they love swag. So the benefits obviously is, you know, uniquely branded swag. But again, we took note from what they care about. They love the swag. They love the uniquely branded t-shirts with the visionary logos and the innovator logos. But then we definitely tried to make it so that it's more experiential. And so the benefits were designed in a way of, let's create this program to be an experience. We talked about American Express. I'm an Amex Platinum holder. There's a reason why. It's because I love the experiences that they create for cardholders, right? Sometimes I'll go to an event and as a cardholder, there is an Amex kiosk roped off and only Amex Platinum holders can be in there. That's awesome. I think it makes me feel unique. I get away from the crowds. And so I took some inspiration from there. And some of the benefits are, for example, you called out earlier, Scott, that there's a focus on people's day-to-day. What do they do, right? Whereas I'm taking it as, well, what do they care about? Well, what are they like every day? And so one of the benefits that we offer is bringing in third-party speakers to talk about something that they don't think they actually knew or cared about or needed. And so just like your experience with Amex Platinum, sometimes they throw over a benefit that you're like, oh, well, I didn't know I had access to that. I'll take advantage of it. And so we have these quarterly events. I'll give one example. One of the first ones we ever did, and I'd love for you guys to research this individual because she's amazing. Her name is Ann Ward. It's A-N-N, W-A-R-D. And she runs her own consulting agency. We tapped into her. What she did, this is the beginning of the pandemic. She is an executive speaking coach. So when you hear an executive at a conference, they look polished. They know their hand placement's perfect. Ann Ward's probably behind it. I was exposed to her at Serious Decisions. So I thought, you know, a lot of the personality of the people in data and analytics are behind the curtain. They're doing the work that nobody really notices. Who's ever heard them actually speak up? Are they shy? Do they have this kind of persona where they're kind of behind the scenes making all the operations go, but when it comes to presenting an idea to someone, maybe they're nervous? And so we brought Anne to do a 1-hour event where all she talked about was how to set up your camera, speak with confidence. Here are exercises to do before you have this big presentation. Stretch your arms out, make yourself bigger before the event starts and give yourself some confidence. And we're looking at this and we're like, this has nothing to do with data and analytics. Nothing. But it was a huge hit. People walked away with that. They rated, we polled them after. They rated it 9 point something out of 10. They were saying like, I needed that. I have this big presentation on Monday and that was a huge help. My camera was down here. Now it's up here because Ann Ward told me so. And so that's what I mean. The benefits, think outside the box. Think about what they are like personally and give them something that's going to help. That and obviously experiences. Again, that was an experience, but if you're at a company conference, you know, give them that VIP feel, right? We roped off seating at our Inspire conference and we literally put papers like almost like when you're at the Oscars and it's got like Matt Damon's name on it. We were like seating reserved for innovator only, right? It makes them feel really cool. And then we also shepherded them away from the crowds and gave them a plated lunch. When they walked into the room, there was a champagne flute handed to them. Experience is everything and it really makes them feel important. So take the benefits, sure, add the swag, but add some experience to it.
Yeah, you know, it's, I'm taking notes here as we're talking. There's kind of like you're tapping into learnings from other industries, which is great. And then, you know, we tend to be a transaction society. And, you know, we've talked a lot here about building relationships, but I think, you know, you hit on something really key is it's the holistic experience and not thinking about one act at a time. Like sometimes we feel like as customer marketers, we need to find the person to speak to the next webinar and not thinking about like how to treat them holistically. And then as we talked about earlier, they're human beings and, you know, you tapped into something that could be, you believed was beneficial for them. You know, these people, you believed it was beneficial for them and sounds like it was a big success.
It was, and don't get me wrong, that was the first event we put together for innovators. And there was definitely doubt, right? Hey, this is Alteryx. These folks are data and analytics workers, information workers. Are they really going to care about soft skills like this? It was a shot in the dark. We definitely took a shot, you know, with an educated guess, I would say. But I think we hit a core string in their personality and what they care about with that. Later down the line, we then kind of did the same thing, but we definitely brought it more into their day-to-day, but same theme. So for example, we brought in a consultant who was ex-Google and her presentation was all about, you're doing a lot of great work with data and analytics, but the executives sometimes just don't get it, right? So how do you tell a good data story? So it was a data storytelling event. Now that was tied to their day-to-day. But it also infused what they had seen before from Anne Ward about speaking confidently, tying it to real and relatable things that an executive is going to care about. So, you know, you can do both, but it's the whole point is we are creating these experiences for them, right? So we put budget aside for those things, and then we make sure that the advocates know, hey, this is a benefit to being a part of the program, and it increases that loyalty and that buy-in and engagement to your programs because now they are tying it to the innovative program gives me something that I like that is valuable, which is awesome.
Makes me think of another last century analogy of the Maytag repairman who gets no respect. And I think sometimes the data people don't get a lot of respect.
Yeah, because you know they're in the back, right? They're kind of behind the scenes doing a lot of the efficiency, operational tinkering, and it's stuff that, let's be real, extremely bright individuals. I really dedicated myself to learning what they do, but it's hard. And so you tap into that personality. What do they care about? How can we amplify their voice is hugely important.
We were talking before the call about a project I worked on. It was with SAP HANA. And, you know, the data community is huge there. And It's great to see what you're doing because we struggled a little bit with that community, you know, and break them out into those who like to learn about data and those who like to teach it. But I don't think we did a good enough job at the time of putting them on stage and understanding like what's motivating them beyond, you know, a dashboard or a spreadsheet. So,
yeah, you know, and to my point earlier about giving them the power, tell a good story, right? I'll tell one that was key in actually earlier this year. There was a member of the innovator program who developed an analytic app with Alteryx. Now, if I say that, you're going to be like, okay, great. What is that doing? But then when you hear the rest of it, you go, okay, let me back up. Does this make sense? Right. And so the analytic app was designed for a pharmacist, somebody who's not data analytics, to be able to click through and quickly identify which patients were at risk of not taking their prescribed medicine. It was all about medicine adherence. And if you look at the work behind that, it's extremely technical, right? There's a lot of inputs. There's a lot of drag and drop tools that designer allowed this individual to work on. But if you tell the story from a level of now a pharmacist has the power to quickly identify which patients are at risk of not taking their medicine because they are patients of dementia or they're patients of, you know, advanced diabetes and they perhaps a little bit older and they forget to take all their meds. This struck with me because my grandmother is diabetic and she's got an entire pill set, right? And sometimes she forgets to take her meds. So this app allowed the pharmacist to identify them and then proactively make sure that somebody was on top of this, calling, visiting, and it's all done with data and analytics, right? And if you break it down and you actually tell the story that way, now it's got this impact where perhaps somebody in the business is looking at it going, what else can we do with that, right? That's pretty cool. Yeah. And that's what a lot of our innovators are doing. They're able to tell those kinds of stories.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of alluded to it up front when you said, oh, it's another analytics app. I'm like, okay, here we go again. when you start telling me about, you know, how it's helping people with diabetes or something like that, it definitely brings it more home. Is there anything that I didn't ask you today about the, I'm going to say, you call it the triple B. I'm going to call it the killer bees, which as a Yankee fan, you might know what that analogy is of the old killer bee pitchers. But are there anything about the bees that I didn't ask you about or anything else that you thought maybe I should have asked you today?
Look, the triple B approach is high level, right? It's the brand that you're creating and then aligning to the business and then making sure that those benefits are there for your advocates to engage with. But it's never going to be one size fits all. It's meant to be putty. You have to be able to mold it to where you sit, what your organization does. Look, I mean, I look at some of my industry peers and you've got folks in tech, you've got folks in healthcare, you've got folks in, I know somebody who has an advocacy program and his audience is construction workers. That's got to be difficult. That's hard, right? These people are on site. So it's tough. Mm-hmm. But if you take that triple B approach and make sure you think really hard and get creative on what matters to your audience, that's the beauty of it. Because there's always going to be something that your customers care about. That's why they are customers of yours. Your job is to talk to them and find out what it is and dive into their personality, their human personality. It's as simple as that. Aligning to the benefits of your go-to-market strategy, that's something that you can talk internally to. Make sure that you're persistent in setting up those meetings. But yeah, the triple B approach is meant to be molded into your audience. That's what I think is the takeaway here. And then make sure that you're measuring the program in terms of not just activities and what the output of those activities are, but then translate it. Tell a story about what it is impacting. And you're going to get some eyebrow raises for sure.
Great. Well, I'd like to end these things with one last question about who has influenced you or what has influenced you the most in terms of your career?
Yeah, I love that question. Thanks, Scott. All right. So I'm heavily influenced by my own loyalty and advocacy for certain brands, right? So I called out American Express. I think they do an amazing job on providing their cardholders with benefits, things that you didn't think you needed. It's just interesting. It's always fun and they change every month. And then I worked at Starbucks for 9 years in my earlier days. And when the Starbucks app came out, I absolutely love that. I mean, it's just genius. So, what they do is cool because not only can you go in and buy the products that you need, but if you take the time and scroll all the way down, there's curated music. There is philanthropic things that you can take a part of. You can learn about what's going on, you know, with the people who are actually growing the coffee that you're drinking. It goes beyond just my love of coffee. And that's the whole point, right? Like what I was talking about is Starbucks is pumping this stuff out. I care about philanthropic things. I care about ESG. I love music. Right. And so it's not just, hey, Lewis, buy more coffee. It's not innovator, use more Alteryx. It's, hey, innovator, what do you care about? You know, so I love that. That's a big influence for me. And then I do this all the time. She's probably sick and tired of me mentioning her, but Amy Bills is my mentor. She is my influence for sure. Her and Lisa Nakano, met them both while they were both at Serious Decisions. I cannot thank them enough. I've gobbled up all of their research, all of their models. I still ping Amy Bills when I'm kind of struggling with an idea. You know, she tells me yes, no. And I love that. So, I have a habit of calling her out often. To me, she's top notch. So she's awesome.
Just because some people might not know Amy and Lisa. Can you just say who they are?
They're both Forrester. So like I said earlier, Forrester acquired Serious Decisions. Lisa Nakano is more focused on the customer marketing side, but she is now a head of more of like the ABM side. She is West Coast based. Highly recommend having a conversation with her. And then Amy Bills leads a lot of the client engagement strategy advisory services for Forrester. And so, you know, she is just an absolute genius when it comes to all things advocacy.
Great. So I know where to find you. Where can people find you if they have questions?
Well, if it's not Yankee Stadium, it's going to be LinkedIn. You know, LinkedIn is, I'm very active there. You know, feel free to shoot me a note, a direct message, and I'm always willing to speak to anybody, share ideas. I typically reserve my Fridays for those kinds of calls, but I'm always willing to chat. LinkedIn is definitely the best place to go.
our Yankees don't start performing better. I don't know if we're going to find you at Yankee Stadium, or you might be by yourself.
Well, I don't know when this is going to air, when you guys see it. I will be at Yankee Stadium on September 9th, hoping that we've turned the page a little bit. It's been a rough go after the All-Star game.
So, Lewis, thank you very much. Like always, I've been taking notes here. I've been thinking about, like, you know, because there's just lots of great information here. So really appreciate your time. I want to just thank everybody for joining us today for Customer-Led Groove. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and the new CLG Campus. So, Lewis, thank you.
Sure thing. Thanks, guys.
By the way, Lewis is a faculty advisor on the CLG Campus. So come visit and you'll find out more about that.
Yeah, find out more because we got funny names for all of us.
Thank you again.
Thank you again for joining Customer-Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG Campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer-Led Groove.